with us, I think some of you for the very first time. It is always our intention, always our hope and desire to make every single one of you that are visiting to feel welcome. That whenever you're back here in the Lindell area again, hopefully you'll come back and worship God together with us again and to study with us from the Word of God whenever you're able and willing to. I've been doing a series of sermons from the Sermon on the Mount. And if you do not get a copy of the sermon outline, if you just take your Bible and open to Matthew chapter 7, our sermon this morning is going to be taken from verse 6. Matthew chapter 7, now verse 6. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. In the text here, we're dealing with dumb animals, dogs, swine. And the idea of offering something holy to a dog. You can come to the dog, again, you can say, this is holy. This is special. This is valuable. This is extremely important. The dog's not going to understand you. He's not going to understand that what you're placing in front of him is holy. You can talk to the pig, the swine, all day long and tell them how valuable the pearls are, how precious they are, how important they are. He's not going to understand it. What this text is dealing with is how sometimes in life you're going to come across some people who just don't understand the treasure that's in front of them. And you need to be careful with these individuals, especially if it is your time and your life and yourself that you're giving as a treasure to these individuals, because they're not going to appreciate it. They're not going to understand it. Now, what we're going to be doing in the sermon this morning, though, you know, a lot of times when we preach this sermon, people will go, yeah, Wayne, talk about those folks out there. Get them. Those people that don't understand. What I'm wanting us to do is, as we go through the sermon this morning, ask ourselves, wait a minute. Am I the swine? Am I the dog? Am I the one who just doesn't get it, who doesn't see and comprehend and understand exactly how great a treasure and important this really is? So as we go through the sermon this morning, I want every one of us to ask ourselves, are these scriptures describing me? First of all, let's talk about the treasure of our family. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What is important to you? What is valuable to you? The greatest physical treasure God will ever give you is a wife or a husband and family, children. In the Old Testament book of Proverbs, in chapter 31 and verse 10, it says, who can find a virtuous wife for her price is far above rubies? The idea here is you find a virtuous wife, a God-fearing wife, a good wife. If you can find a woman like this, you need to recognize the awesome treasure that she is. Whenever I do weddings, and I love doing weddings, whenever I do weddings and I'm speaking at them, I try to impress upon the bride and the groom that the greatest physical treasure God will ever give you is your husband or your wife. The word honor that we use a lot of times in talking about honoring the husband, honoring the wife, is primarily a term that is dealing with valuing. It is recognizing the value that someone is, recognizing the treasure that someone is, and then treating them accordingly. Do you recognize the treasure that your husband or your wife is? Treat them as the great treasure that they are. Another verse that deals with this idea of not understanding the value of treasure is found in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 22. It says, as a gold ring, as a ring of gold is in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Now in the text here, it is dealing with a woman who doesn't understand the treasure that she is. It's interesting sometimes how the text is dealing with someone viewing a treasure that doesn't understand how great it is. But sometimes people don't understand the treasure that they are. Do you understand how precious you are? You have a soul. You were made in the image of God. The most precious thing in the universe, the blood of the Christ, is what it took to purchase you, to redeem you. You are more precious than all gold and treasure in this world. If a man were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what would he give in exchange for his soul? That's how valuable you are. And among human beings that are valuable, the most precious and the most rare is a God-fearing woman. A God-fearing man. Please come to understand the awesome treasure you are. And do not give yourself to someone who cannot appreciate nor understand the treasure that you are. There are going to be men out in the world and women who will view your being a God-fearing man or woman as a problem. As something that they're going to see as they got to get around, they got to deal with it if they want to be around you and be your husband. Your relationship with God and your faith and your love for God is not a problem. It is wonderful. That is the way it is supposed to be. Whenever you choose your spouse, choose someone who can see you and appreciate you for the great treasure you are. Understand the treasure you are and find a spouse who will treasure you for the treasure you are. Getting back now to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 28 to 29, it says, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church." In the text here, again, it is talking about the husband and wife relationship. And he's trying to explain to the husband that he's supposed to be loving his wife as Christ loved the church. And then he goes on further and talks about the husband who loves his own wife, loves his own body. As I try to point out to you, honor is recognizing the treasure someone is and then treating them accordingly. Husbands, please listen to me for a moment. Treat your great treasure with the love and the honor and the dignity and the gentleness she deserves. Cherish her. The term cherish, again, is a word that describes valuing. Treating someone as a great treasure. Cherish her. Honor her. Love her. Be gentle to her. As the greatest physical treasure you will ever be given by God. Going back now to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1, it describes how the wise woman builds her house. But the other side of the proverb is, the foolish pulls it down with her hands. The same thing can be said of a wise husband. A wise husband builds his house, but the foolish husband pulls his own home down with his own hands. It's amazing to me how many people I see in the world who take their greatest treasures they have been given in life and just shred them, tear them down, stomp all over them, drag them through the mud, if you will. You need to understand that a man or a woman who does so, you are the swine back here in Matthew 7, because you're taking the great treasure God has given you and stomping all over it and dragging it through the mud because you do not understand the great treasure you have. And so you're tearing it to pieces. That is why I implore you, if you are still single, find a man or a woman who will treasure you and treat you always as the treasure that you are, rather than dragging you and later on your children through the mud because they don't treasure you. Psalms 127 verse 3 says, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Now we're dealing with treasure that God gives husbands and wives. After you've been married for a period of time, the Lord hopefully will bless you with a children. And children are great treasures. They refer to here as a gift from the Lord, a reward. When God blesses you with children, Do not treat them like burdens. Do not ever make them feel that they're in the way and you wish they weren't there. Let them know that they are the treasures of your life, that they are loved, that they are appreciated. Again, hear the word appreciate. That is a word of value. They are appreciated. They are recognized for the great treasure that they are. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15, it says, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." A child left to himself is a child to whom it is being expressed, "We don't care. We don't care about you. We don't care what happens to you. We don't care about your values. We don't care about your morals. We don't care what happens in your life." Leaving a child to himself is an expression of, "You aren't valuable. You really don't mean a lot to us." And you need to understand, they understand the message. They get it. Parents who discipline, parents who set boundaries and say, "You cannot go beyond this or you're going to be disciplined," and then they carry out the discipline. Children understand that you discipline and you set boundaries because we are valuable to you. You are trying to protect us. True discipline that is given in love is understood to be an expression of love and value and caring about the person's life. But when you just sit your children in front of a television or in front of computers and let them sit there all day long and you never interact with them, you never teach them, you never honor them or love them, you're expressing to them, "We don't care." My son did a lesson on this subject a few weeks ago, and I didn't preach on that verse because I didn't want to steal his sermon. But in his lesson that he preached, he was trying to lay out for you the number of minutes that American people spend with their children. How many minutes a day do you think the average American father and mother spend talking to their children? The answer is 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Wow. What does that express to the average American child? You are not important. Turn off the televisions, turn off the computers, talk to your children, teach your children, love your children, interact with your children. They do not need your stuff. They need you. They want you. And your time, and your love, and your teaching. If you leave them alone, it is an expression of, "We don't really see the treasure you are." So again, I ask you, are you a swine when it comes to your children? Because if you are letting them alone and not teaching them and not interacting with them, then you don't know the treasure you got, and you're a pig. You're a pig with the understanding of a pig because you don't understand the awesome treasure God has given you. That's what God says about you. When he's talking about the dog and the swine, he's describing people there. People who don't understand treasure that they've got. And they're treating it like garbage. So again, I ask you, where are you with your treasure of your family? Do you comprehend it? Do you understand it? Do you treasure it? Where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. I want to take this principle now, though, and go in a different direction with it. And I would like to talk with you about physical blessings that God has given you. In Numbers chapter 11, 5 through 6, it says, "We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." Whenever I read that, I'm thinking, wow, what kind of people are these? Here you're dealing with the children of Israel They've been taken out of Egyptian bondage and slavery by God. And here he is giving them miraculous manna, bread, freely, daily. All they got to do is go up and pick it up. Have you ever tried to imagine how much manna it had to be to feed a couple of million people? And every single day, all they had to do is go pick up the blessing and eat it. And here they are murmuring and complaining and griping about the physical blessing God gives them. And they're sitting down and they go, oh, wasn't it good to be slaves back in Egypt? Oh, I remember the good old days in Egypt. Those were the good old days. This kind of attitude is completely condemned in the New Testament as murmuring and complaining. Where God gives you a physical blessing, and rather than being grateful and thankful about it, you murmur and gripe about it. The next text I would like to look at is over in Psalms 103, verses 2 through 5. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, I want to stop right there. This text begins here in Psalms 103 by talking about all the blessings God is showering upon us daily. And he points out there's a potential problem sometime that we can have about these blessings that God is showering upon us on a daily basis, and that is that we can forget them. We're not even conscious of them. We're not even thinking about them. He goes on, he lists several of the blessings here. He says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. Well, several of these are dealing with spiritual blessings, but among them are physical blessings. The healing of your diseases, who satisfies your mouth with good things. For a moment here, I would like us to stop and slow down and do something. I want you to think about the blessings God is showering upon you right now in your life. You know, we have a song that we sing, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. It'll surprise you what God has done. Have you ever done that? I encourage you to slow down and look. And really just start listing them. The blessings God showers upon you daily, everything that is good, everything that's perfect, comes from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation or shifting shadow. The food that you ate this morning, the clothes you're wearing right now, your health. It's a wonderful thing not to be sick, not to be hurting. A lot of you that are here this morning are feeling quite good right now. No pain. Some of you are in pain. Pray about it. But our health, the clothing that we're wearing, the cars that you drove, the homes that you live in. How many of you are going to go home in just a few hours and eat a really nice meal? There are all kinds of blessings, physical blessings, that we have being showered upon us. What I want us to do here is to be conscious of them. If someone gives you a blessing and you don't even pay attention to it, you don't even acknowledge it, that's rude, isn't it? If someone gives you a blessing and then you gripe about it, wow, that's murmuring and complaining. What I'm wanting us to do at this phase in the sermon is first be conscious. Again, remember the pig and the dog, they're not conscious. Be conscious of the physical treasures that God is blessing you with in life, and then be thankful. Over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I want you to notice the order of these verses here in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. I want you to realize this is a thought that all goes together. The rejoicing, the praying without ceasing, the rejoicing always, and then in everything, giving thanks. To give thanks in everything, you've got to be sitting down and realizing how many blessings you are being given by God. I want to encourage us to slow down and to look at the blessings, not just walk by them, but to realize every single day of your life, they are being loaded upon you. Be grateful. Be thankful. Don't murmur and complain when the blessings are being showered upon you. Getting back to the text now, in Genesis chapter 25, 32 through 34, it says, "And Esau said, 'Look, I am about to die. So what is his birthright to me?' Then Jacob said, 'Swear to me as of this day.' So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank and arose and went away and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." Here you have an individual who, as the firstborn son, has the birthright to inheritance, physical blessings. And if you've ever read the story of Esau, you've probably thought, what is it with this guy? Is he that dense? Yes, is the answer. He despised his inheritance. The word despised does not mean he hated it. It is he didn't appreciate it. He didn't appreciate his birthright. It wasn't important to him. You need to realize there are individuals that are given physical blessings by God, but it's just not really important to them. Look at some verses on this from Proverbs 21, 20 and verse 21. "An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end." This may be a proverb that you're not familiar with. Let me explain it to you. "An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning is the idea that you're young and all of a sudden you have your inheritance given to you when you're young and you don't understand the value of a dollar. You don't understand what your parents had to do to get this inheritance to give to you, and you're young again without understanding finances." You remember the swine and the dog? They don't understand. In the context here, you're giving somebody who doesn't understand what they've received, and so they just squander it. They squander it. Look at this verse over in Proverbs 21 and 20. "There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it." For someone to squander, that's a good Mississippi word, squander. A squander, that is the idea that you just take it and just let it go. Yeah, I'm going to buy that. And they have no idea. They buy foolish things. They spend it foolishly, and it's just gone. It's not that they weren't given treasure. It's that they didn't appreciate what was given to them. A verse that is kind of similar to it is chapter 18 and verse 9 of Proverbs. "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." A waster, again, is someone who has been given blessings, but they don't appreciate what they've been given, and they just waste it. They just let it go. Same concept again in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 27. "The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession." A lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. Now just think about it. Look, we got some hunters here. Could you imagine someone shooting a deer and then go, "I killed a deer. Well, I'll get it next week." Well, now, that's not going to get it, is it? What would you think if you went hunting with a man who shot a deer and then said, "Bye, I'm gone"? You would think, what'd you shoot it for? You need to quit hunting. Because when you kill the deer, you got to clean the deer. That's not that hard work, is it? Well, that takes a lot of work, doesn't it? To prepare the meat. And then after you prepared the meat, then you got to cook it. He's been given the blessing, but he's too lazy to do what needs to be done with it. Squanders it, wastes it. So again, I'll bring this back to us, and I ask all of us, are we the dog? Are we the swine? Are we the individual who doesn't understand the physical treasures God is blessing us with and appreciate them? Ecclesiastes now, chapter 10 and verse 18 says, "Because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks." Here again, someone's been given a house. They're blessed with a house. Now, anybody here that has a house, your house never falls apart, does it? Your plumbing never breaks. No, it's falling apart right now, isn't it? And if you've got a house, it's going to take attention. It's going to take time. Whenever you have a physical blessing, that physical blessing is going to be needing to be taken care of, appreciated, and valued. You will find that if you will take care of the blessings you have, they will last longer. Take care of your house. Take care of your car. Take care of whatever physical treasures God blesses you with. Appreciate them. Don't squander them. Don't waste them. Don't let them fall to pieces while time being spent on them. The same thing is taught in Proverbs 17 and verse 16. Of what use is money in the hand of a fool since he does not get wisdom? This is from the NIV. I chose this because I like the way it's stated in this translation. You give money to a fool, so what? They don't know what to do with it because they are not going to be interested in getting wisdom of what to do with the treasure once they've got it. What I'm trying to get across to you in this section of this lesson is try to seek for wisdom of what to do with the physical treasures God does give you. Rather than being someone who's when you're given a treasure, you don't appreciate it, you don't see it, you don't understand it, so therefore you just squander it, waste it, and let it go, and let it fall to pieces. What I'm trying to help you see here is in physical treasures, you can be like Esau, to where it's there for you, but you really just don't care too much about it, and you let it go. Now then, that we've nailed this down about physical treasure, I'm going to take the same principle and apply it to spiritual treasure. Physical treasure you can see with your eyes, but spiritual treasure is by faith that you understand it because you cannot see it. And actually, this is the primary thought that's being taught here in Matthew. You remember back in Matthew where he was talking about laying up treasures for yourself in heaven? And not on this earth. Because treasures on this earth, moth and rust can get them, and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, well, which will not be stolen or taken away. That's actually the primary thought that's crossed in this text here. And he goes on further, if you remember earlier from our lessons earlier, where he's talking about how someone's eye is darkened, they cannot see, but if your eye is clear, you can see. What we're talking about now, though, is seeing spiritually. Spiritual vision, spiritual understanding, to where you comprehend and understand the magnitude of the treasures of God. Look at this, if you will, from Matthew 22, verses 4 through 6. Again, he sent out his servant, saying, tell those who are invited, see how I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his building. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. Now here you have a king preparing a feast, a wedding. You need to understand that I guarantee you when people were listening to this proverb, not this proverb, this parable, they were thinking, you've got to be kidding. Here they're invited to come to a wedding feast of the king's son, and they make light of it? They don't understand the honor, do they? They don't understand the great treasure that's being presented to them. And he talks about how the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. I guarantee you the people listening to this parable were like, you got to be kidding. Are there people that are idiots? What he's talking about here in this parable, though, is people's attitude toward the treasures of God and the invitation of God to come be with him in heaven. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death, but there's a gift from God. The gift is eternal life. Now, how many times have you heard that word, eternal life, or those words? Hundreds. Now then, do you comprehend it? Do you understand the magnitude of the gift of God? I love the way it is described in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I don't mind telling you I have a difficult time grappling and grasping eternal life. But I got the idea that it's never ending. We're dealing here with being alive forever, where there's no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death, ever. Being with God himself and our Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. The way the Apostle Paul put it in the Ephesian letter, chapter 1 and verse 18, he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now let's just stop right there. Again, we're dealing with understanding. You remember the dog and the swine? The problem is they don't see. They don't understand. And what the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Holy Spirit here to the Ephesians about is he's wanting the eyes of their understanding to be enlightened. And that is, he's wanting them to be able to see, to comprehend, to understand what? The inheritance of God. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What he's wanting us to comprehend, what he's wanting us to see and understand, is the magnitude of the treasure of the inheritance in the saints. The magnitude of what we're dealing with here, being with God himself forever in heaven. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more death. Do you understand the indescribable gift and treasure that God is laying before you? Hebrews is an interesting text. Beginning in verse 22 of chapter 10 of Hebrews, you have our end of the covenant. The first part of the chapter is God's end of the covenant. The last part of the chapter is our end of the covenant. That's why verse 22 talks about drawing near to God with a true heart, the full assurance of faith, having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and your bodies washed in pure water. That's verse 22. You're probably familiar with verse 25. It's probably been used in 100 sermons by preachers. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together is the manner of some. Okay. But are you familiar with verse 26? Where he says, if you sin willfully after you receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. What you're dealing with here in this text that we're reading right now are individuals who reject the covenant. When you reject the covenant, this in reality what you are doing. Hebrews 10:29 says, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Now let me ask you, when someone is rejecting the covenant and sinning willfully after they receive the knowledge of the truth, do you think they comprehend and understand that they're trampling underfoot the Son of God? I would say, no, they really don't understand what they're doing. They're taking the most valuable, important individual in the world, the Son of God, and trampling him underfoot. You remember the pig dragging the treasure through the mud? And he goes on further and he says, they count the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing. Can you tell me what the most precious thing is in the entire universe? I can. It is the blood of the Christ that it took to purchase you and redeem you. And yet here you have someone who's taking the most precious thing in the universe and it's just a common thing. No treasure, not important. The last part of the verse says he's insulted the Spirit of grace. They don't realize they're insulting the Holy Spirit that gave them a word. Now, the reason I wanted to put this verse in here is because the swine drags the treasure through the mud. There are going to be individuals that whenever you come to them and you talk to them about God's great love for them, and what Christ did for them, how he sacrificed himself at Calvary so their sins could be forgiven, and how God wants to give them the gift of eternal life so they can be with God forever in heaven. And they're going to go, so? I don't care. You just came in contact, and I'm not trying to be offensive, but what the scriptures refer to as a swine or a dog. And what we're dealing with here is not their morals, although they're probably going to be immoral because they're carnally minded. We're dealing with their understanding. You're trying to help them see the great love of God for them, and they just don't see it, don't really care. You're trying to help them come to understand what sin has done to their relationship with God, and they just don't care. You're trying to help them see the fear of hell. They just don't care. You're trying to help them understand the wonder of heaven, the glory of being with God. And they just don't care. Because they don't understand, because they don't believe. Second Corinthians now, chapter 4, verse 18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Okay, again, remember the middle part of the sermon was dealing with things that are seen. But now we're dealing with another kind of treasure. A treasure that's not seen. A treasure that requires from you faith. Trust. We walk by faith, not by sight. But this treasure that is not seen, he says, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're dealing here with the treasure that is eternal. Eternal life, being with God forever in heaven itself, in the presence of God. It is real. Please, slow down. Try to comprehend, try to enlighten your eyes and see and understand the magnitude of the treasure and the gift that God is offering to you. Rather than casually just float by it and go, what movie am I going to rent today? What am I going to do today? No, come back here. And look at it. And comprehend it. And understand it. And appreciate it. And desire it. And treat it as the most important treasure you can ever imagine that it is. How important is going to heaven to you? How important is this treasure to you? Are you the swine? Are you the dog? Who, whenever I've been talking to you about God's love for you in heaven, it bounces off you like a rubber ball. You need to understand, if it's bouncing off of you because you don't really see this as being important, you're the swine, the dog the text is talking about. Colossians says in chapter 3 and verse 2, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. If you're going to be a Christian, where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. Your treasure should be in heaven. The things that are valuable to you are heaven. And what is most important to you more than anything is being with God for all eternity. Let me ask you, is that what is most important to you? If not, why not? Is being with God forever in heaven the most important treasure in your life and heart? If you answer yes, good. Now live accordingly. If you answer no, you need to open your eyes and try to understand by faith what really is in the future. We'll close the lesson now with Matthew chapter 10, 14 and 15. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Again, now you're dealing in a context here where you've gone to someone, you've laid holy things before them, you've laid the holy gospel, the word of God in front of them. You've talked to them about the most important things in the world, the Son of God, the blood of the covenant, and the gift of God. But they won't receive the word. There comes a point in time where he says here, you shake off the dust from your feet. Those who preach the gospel are supposed to be patient. That is, you don't give up. But there comes a point in time when you realize their answer to the invitation is no. Their answer to the word of God is No, I don't want to come. No, I don't care. When that time is reached, please understand you can't force people to believe. You can't force people to care. You can't force people to love God or obey God or go to heaven. All we can do is tell them the truth. Tell them the gospel of Christ crucified. And encourage them to see the truth and respond to the truth. And have their own relationship with God. And walk and live by their own faith. And press on toward the goal of heaven in their own life. But whenever you come across people, and you will, as you sow the seed, you need to realize you're sowing, there's going to be wayside ground. And when you come across the wayside ground, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's the fact that they don't see, they don't understand. And the treasure that's laid in front of them, they don't care about. And so there comes a point in time when you just go, okay, I got to keep going. I got to keep sowing. I'm sorry that you have deemed yourself unworthy of eternal life, but so be it. Now I have to keep going and sowing and try to find the good ground. This whole concept of not casting your pearls before swine is basically trying to help us understand that there's going to be people, not dogs and pigs, but people that you're going to come in contact with who really just don't comprehend and understand treasure. As a consequence, they'll take things that are important and stomp all over them and drag them through the mud. Sometimes it may be the treasure of family. There are men and women who will tear down their homes with their own hands because they don't appreciate the awesome treasure they've been blessed with in their family. There will be people sometime who will be given physical blessings who will not appreciate it and squander it and waste it and just throw it away. But the saddest thing of all is people who do not comprehend and understand the indescribable gift of God and just throw it away and trample underfoot the Son of God and count the blood of the covenant an unholy thing and a common thing. It's sad that there are people out there like that. But you can't make a dog understand. And you can't make the pig understand. So there comes a point in time when you just shake off the dust from your feet and go on. So I come back and ask you the question. Are you swine? Are you the dog? Do you understand the treasures of life? Then treat them accordingly as the great treasures they are. Honor your family. Love your family. Take care of the treasures God has given you physically. Be thankful for them. Take care of them. Use them wisely. And then, more than anything, set your affections on the things that are above. Let your heart and your treasure be heaven and being with God. And build your life by faith around the great treasure of the gift of God. There may be somebody here though this morning who has not obeyed the gospel yet. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you're willing to openly confess that faith and repent of your sins, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you for the remission of your sins into the body of Christ. You will be a child of God. In the body of Christ is where all spiritual blessings are found in Christ. And at the end of your journey is the indescribable gift of God, eternal life with God in heaven. If you're a child of God already, and you've become an Esau to where your inheritance is something you did not value, did not treasure, and you traded away your inheritance for some trivial trinket. Let me ask you, do you think Esau was a financial idiot? That's basically how I view him. He took his birthright and traded it for a bowl of soap. Not a good trade. Let me ask you, how much bigger idiotic is it then to trade the indescribable gift of God for some silly trinket on this planet? For some moment of sin, for some pleasure of sin? You are giving up being with God for something that's temporary. I don't care how good it may feel, how much pleasure it may bring you. That's not a good trade. That's not wise. Come back and understand the gift of God and cling to it. If you're giving up your inheritance, come home, come back to the Father. He is willing to forgive you. We'll pray for you, we'll pray with you, we'll do the very best we can to try to encourage you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song which has been selected.